Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Yes, we're in live early. We are recorded later. It's golf season. It's going to happen a few times, right? You got to get there and get warmed up, ready to roll. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. So the market takes off. Particularly tech stocks. Particularly the ones that weren't going to work this year because it was back to value stocks. And they were overpriced. Everybody knew that. Of course, after they went down very significantly in 2022. During the year, all of the analysts, of course, decided that it was time not to own them because, well, they'd already gone down. Always being helpful, Wall Street analysts, after the fact, let you know that you really can't own tech stocks right now. They're too expensive in a rising interest rate environment. So dutifully, they one after the other repeated this. One after the other. So what do the people at JP Morgan think? What do the people at Goldman Sachs think? In unison. What is fascinating to me is how this goes on and on and on as if it's an important thing to discuss what's good in the market and how incredibly wrong they are. And again, not to just sit around and make fun of them, I think it's important to understand this has gone on and on and on forever. It's just louder now. It's just louder. This is kind of an old one, but I bumped into it. You know, it's not up to date. It's not, but the numbers are going to be the same. You know they are. And I've shared this before. But we're really talking about the six-month average forecast of only one thing, interest rates. And this is a survey of economists that the Wall Street Journal does and has, I mean, for decades now. So this is a 20-year run from December of 1982 to June of 21. They're wrong 63% of the time. Just on interest rates. Let me repeat that in case you heard it backwards. They were wrong almost two-thirds of the time on interest rates. On the direction of interest rates. So what do we do playing the game with the Federal Reserve and the market and all that? The Fed's meeting next month. Do we think? Here was the babble all week long. Oh, yeah, the week before, too, and the week before that, and the week before that. Do you think the Fed's going to pause in June? I don't know. The data for this jobs report was a little bit hotter. What about that jobs report? It's soft. What about that one? What about retail sales? Oh, gosh, what the Fed is going to do, are they going to pause a one-quarter of a point increase in June? That's the driver? And they can't get it right nearly two-thirds of the time. Okay, restated, they're right barely, right? They're right less than a coin flip by a lot. How? How is this possible? Interest rates can only go up or down. And these are economists and highly paid, super smart. Apparently, they can't predict the future on one simple thing. And markets are complex. Way complex. You might say, well, interest rates are complex too. Really? Okay, well, I didn't think they were that complex. But factoring into the returns of the market are such things as corporate profits. Whether Mr. Jones likes his happy life, or he's kind of grumpy right now, so he likes to own stocks, or he doesn't. I know, it's not really all that emotional, is it, really? Well, study after study shows it's like purely emotion, right? We can't get this right at all, but we play this game. How's the market doing? What do you think about the market? Well, right after the break here, we're going to have JP Morgan come on and tell us what their market outlook is. Oh, boy. I'll bet it's the same as Goldman Sachs' outlook. Yeah. Very little insight. Ever. Ever. And they're wrong most of the time. Why are they wrong most of the time? One question, which I'll attempt to answer. And the next one is, why do you care? Which I can't answer. You have to answer that. Why do we collectively care? I'm trying to sort through that one. Why we never really ask the question. But Mr. JP Morgan, but Mr. Goldman Sachs, but Mr. Wells Fargo, what Mr. UBS, Merrill Lynch, keep going, Schwab, TD. Why are you almost always wrong? I haven't heard that. It's weird. We never ask. Because it fills space between commercials, which we get paid to do. It's why we exist, for commercial time. It's incredible when you think about it. How many things through the entire time are just like constant babble? Constant. It's really like watching the news over and over and over and over and over. Nothing really is changing. Just somehow we're just mesmerized by the blood and the angst. Okay? Doesn't make sense when we take a deep breath and pull back that this is how we would spend our time. But we do. Okay, so back to the question. Why are they always wrong? Not always. I mean, way overstated. Why are they mostly wrong? Why? I believe it's because we are linear. There's multiple reasons. We think we can mathematically figure out the market. We do. We actually do. We have these things called price-to-earnings ratios, and the average is 16.5 for the last bazillion years. Okay? Well, that's super important to know. It is, because then we can lay a formula to it. Okay, so our prediction is the S&P will be at 3,200 because all we have to do is figure out corporate earnings. Oh, that's a mighty easy task. Collectively, how much is the S&P going to be making this year? Times 16.5, since that's the average. And that's where the market ought to be. Right. Yeah. Because interest rates are going to be static. You can figure out corporate profits. And investors always price the market at 16.5. Yeah, they do for 5 trading days over a 20-year period. It's always more or less expensive. Always. It's really something to look at and think about when you see the chart. Because this is literally And I'm not putting down J.P. Morgan. It's just this was their talking point all of last year. The market can't go up. We don't think it's going to go up very much. They all sound about the same. So don't pick on them. It can't really increase from here. Now remember, this is basically the end of the summer, the lows in the market. It can't go up from here because corporate profits are sinking, and we think corporate profits are going to be, I'm making up a number here, but I'm not far off, $120 for the S&P 500 for the coming 12 months. That's what we think. And so with that, we simply tie that to 16.5, and that's what gives us 3,200. Oh, okay. Okay. That's easy. That's we can calculate the market that way. And then we know what the market's going to do. And they all parrot each other. And they're wrong almost all the time. Now, just to give you an idea, the market basically is at 40 over 4,200, the S&P is. Not 3,200, a whopping third higher. And corporate profits aren't any better than they said they would be because that's like one input. This is why they're wrong all the time. There's another reason. They all parrot each other. They all do. There's not, again, I misstate. There are a few that are willing to go out on a limb. By the way, those are the ones we ought to be listening to. Not because they're right, but because they're different. They might actually give you insight. They don't actually just look at it and go, oh, well, 16 times 100 is where we're going to be. No, we're not. We're not going to be there. 5 trading days on its way to be more expensive or less expensive than 16 times earnings. It's what the market does all the time, but this is what our brain does. When we say we're linear, it's incredibly important for us to understand. We are basically monkeys, lizards. We think that we can follow tracks to food. Ugh. That's it. That's about it, what it is. We can follow a female. That's all we can do, basically. But humans are very capable of thinking outside the box if we, burn the extra calories in effort to try. But very few do, because it's so simple to scare you. You know, the market's so overvalued. Yeah, well, I'll take the extra third of overvalued. Thank you. Why is it overvalued? I don't know. But we are. We're over this mythical average that the market never trades at. 5 trading days is whatever, 0.01 number of days that it trades at its supposed valuation. What worth does that have? Almost none. Oh, it's another directional indicator thingy. Okay. But we have to always be open to the idea that not only are we wrong, we're wrong most of the time, and that's okay. How's that okay? You don't have to be right very often and win. Because the only thing you have to be right about is basically the 100-year direction of the market, right? I mean, just my lifetime direction of the market is up. And understanding that we're not done yet, and the world is still growing on balance. Well, what about Germany slipping into recession? Okay, fuss about it. China looks like an economic disaster. Now, why is that bad? I don't know why that would be bad. That sounds really importantly good from an evil empire, that they're not in good economic shape. Kind of like the Soviet Union was in really bad economic shape, couldn't keep up with the U.S., so it went away. Could that affect stocks or the global economy and things like that? Yeah, COVID did too when they locked down all of China. Muddled through that somehow. We do kind of get through, you know? We kind of get through. And if overall the world is growing, corporations are growing their profits, then the market will grow. It doesn't do it uniform. It does it in big gulps, and we become way overvalued, according to some. We become really undervalued because everybody's scared at other times. Those are the back up the truck times. It doesn't have to be figured out. It just has to be owned. That's all. I had a conversation with a young man. He's getting ready to go off to school. I think today is the day. It is today. Going off to school. Excuse me. He will be going off to military school. He's going off into the woods for a month to fix those trails that I and my wife like to hike on. What a cool thing for a 16-year-old. And we talked a good bit about all that he had to do heading off into the military and understanding he was going to run into everybody needs to own a truck. That's what we do here at the base. Everybody has a big white truck that they can't afford and has no purpose for. We talked about it, the pressure of that, the pressure of going into debt, the pressure of trying to keep up with everybody else. We talked about a cup of coffee a day, and he listened. He really did. I know, because I know his father said it really impressed him. He wanted to just do that. That's what it is. It's not. This is not hard. It's not rocket science. You don't. He didn't. He doesn't. He can get rich not knowing anything about finance, except I need to put a couple hundred bucks away and keep doing that and pay no attention to, oh, I think the market's overvalued. Oh my gosh, you need an equity indexed annuity because here's all the things to be scared of. And oh, you need some real hard assets, a pretty brick. That'll do it for you. Okay, because you know they're just printing money and we're going to inflate it. It's worthless now. And we're having new currencies coming up and digital things. Okay, I don't know any of that. What about Bitcoin? I don't know. What about like commercial real estate disaster? I don't know. I'm going to go fishing. I just put a couple hundred bucks away and don't worry about it. And he'll do great. We turn it into 24/7 news cycles. What do I do? What should I worry about? It's simple. Stay out of debt. Put a few bucks away. What else? Nothing. Leave it alone. But it isn't nothing, is it? Leaving it alone is everything. Everything. If we haven't learned anything this year and next year and the year after, it's going to be the same mistakes over and over again. Oh, the market's overpriced. Oh, the market's super cheap. Oh, we can't own tech stocks. Oh, this is what shifted now. Thank you. It already happened. Don't pretend that it hasn't happened yet. Commentator Joe. Tell me the sky is blue, but do it breathlessly. And I'll go, wow, super smart dude. It's incredible. It's not hard, and we make it hard. All right, I got to take a break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, it's time to join us on the phones. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, it is interesting. Fascinating, really, when you just look at the news and how bad news this is. And you think about the political landscape, the international landscape, the sheer incompetence of this administration. Like, all we worry about is checking boxes. It's pretty weird. It's pretty weird. Debt ceilings, all these things that are just so crazy. And the market goes higher. Well, it defies looking at it on its face. It always does, though. This is what people miss. Wall Street is not Main Street. The economy is weakening. No question about that. But is it weakening for global international companies, or has it already weakened and people are looking forward to a better time? I think the latter. The way you own and the way you win, the way you go up 40-fold is to own Apple. That's how you get a 40-bagger. You own it. You try to trade it, you win. You work your way out of it. You make tiny gains on the ones you win on, and they're gone. And don't forget, you still lose sometimes. So net-net, you lose by trading. So the idea, for example, the Wall Street has a saying, right, that's, hey, if you taking profits. What's the exact one? You can't go broke taking profits on Wall Street. And the answer is, yeah, you can. You will absolutely do that. Well, how is that possible? No, if I win and I take those profits, how is it that I go broke? What? I don't get it. Because you don't always win. If Warren Buffett has 10 great investment ideas that account for the 1,000,000% that he's done, then what would happen if he took profits? He wouldn't have those. He'd have traded out of those. And all the others are mediocre at best, in his own words. This is how. So all the talk of stocks are too high, interest rates, rising interest rates. JoJo's lost control of the economy with his inflation ways, right? Pumping more money into the system. However you want to phrase it. Whatever your worry of the day is. You sell. And you don't own it anymore. And you're out. And you're out. That's how important it is. That's how big it is. You just own. You don't bounce around. That's it. End of investment book. Be a superhero investor. Own the great corporation. Sure, you can fuss around the edges. You can fuss around it by saying things like, I don't want to own any airlines. They don't seem to work. They go bankrupt every few years. Okay. You could say things like, I don't want to own automakers because, my goodness, you got to deal with the unions and they're just pathetic. They're hard to deal with. And they're so cyclical economically and there's so much competition. Okay. Those are fair statements. I don't want to do steel. I don't want to do mining. I mean, they're hard industries that really don't have an edge, that are just commodities. You can do that. I don't think that's terrible. I think it's a great strategy. But those are broad brushstrokes. And saying, for example, as we do all the time, I need to get some money in front of AI and robotics. Oh, even before it was the fashionable statement. I just need to own Google and Apple and Amazon and stuff. Yeah, you kind of just need to own those right now. There might be others coming. And they're broadly reflected in the index, so that's okay. You don't need to like load up on them specifically. They're in their index. But you can make statements like, the Internet of Things is kind of a real deal. It's coming fast. Really fast. There's lots of things that you can say secularly, this is a long-term thing. Right? And I want to get money in front of it. That's okay too. But to sit around and look at those things and go, now the time, I don't know, it's cheap, is it dear, I don't know. I just listened to this guy talk about Apple being overpriced for the last 10 years. Own them. Look at the big trends. You don't have to look at the minor things. It's okay to do that. It surely is. Okay? Surely is. All right. We got behind on our first segment. We got to take a quick break. And for Fox News, when we come back, it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petzofinancial.net. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. I'll be answering one of those in a moment. But I did want to kind of also, if you will, kind of put a bow around this discussion of hanging on and how simple it really is, and all of our talk of trying to linear figure out things, like there's a mathematical formula to figuring out the future. It's the way we're wired, you know? It's just that's the way humans are wired. It doesn't mean you can't unwire that a little bit. You can't think bigger than that. It also means that it's very simple. All you have to do is look at the data that the world doesn't seem to end. Quit worrying about the day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year fluctuations. And relax, chill. And the only thing we ought to be doing in our portfolios really is big, broad thematic pictures. It's okay to look at the world and go, man, everything's falling apart. Go try to fix it. I agree with you 100%. Let's get the right people in office. Let's go. Let's roll. Let's get this make America great again. And I don't mean Donald Trump. Good Lord. Great piece today in the Wall Street Journal. I digress here. I'll be back right on. Okay, just a quick off ramp here. In the Wall Street Journal today, Peggy Noonan, it may sound dramatic, but I think she's right. The Republican Party, if it picks Trump the third time in a row, is finished. It will destroy the suburban voters that it customarily owned. They're not going to vote for Trump, and they're going to wonder what happened to their party. I think she's onto something there. I think it's true. It's true. It's a very, very small group of rabid Trump folks. It's not, and it's not our party. So it's a big, this is a big deal. Anyway, fight the good fight. Whatever your fight is, maybe you think it's that's great. I'm not here to argue politics. I'm just saying that was a very interesting point. And we put it into this mix of everything else. It's okay to want to fight the good fight. It's okay to be politically involved and all. But it's not okay to take that angst over to your portfolio. It's not. The market does fine under Democrats. It does fine under Republicans. Weird, but it does. That's the fact. And when we carry over our feelings about what's right and what's wrong, we blow it. We really do. So I also want to say, though, it's really okay when we're in times like this where finally we can earn money on, like, cash. You can get 5% in a money market. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I don't have to tie it up, and I can try to nibble on some things when there's bump in the night, right? Because that's what markets do. They correct. And it's okay to have a little piece waiting for those bumps that you can buy into, let's say, the Internet of Things, cybersecurity, robotics, broadly, right? It's okay on dips. We got one in 22. Did you act on it? Probably not. Most people didn't. They were told they shouldn't. Those things aren't going to work right now. And they follow that advice. What I call the rearview mirror advice. They follow that. Because guess what? You're never really wrong about what you just saw. It's true. That's exactly what happened. But it doesn't tell you anything about tomorrow, does it? Really. So all of that's okay to say, look, you can get 6, 7, even 8%. In very low risk things. That's okay too, to have a piece of the portfolio in there, especially if you're trying to draw income. Cost of living adjusted all the days of your life that you can't outlive, no matter how long you live. That is an important element. So both of those are okay. They're not playing games to say, I just want to. When I put cash to work, I want to do it on like a dip, right? It's okay. That doesn't make you a dumb trader. I think it's actually kind of sort of smart. It's okay. So cash builds up, whether it's from dividends or what have you, and you allocate it. If you're spending it, great. Just leave it alone and spend. It's not that you aren't aware of the circumstances around you, that maybe it's a time to be in something that has interest rates adjust, okay? Floating rate. Maybe it's time when interest rates have gotten high enough, you ought to be in corporate bonds. Maybe there's a big enough disconnect even in high yield bonds. Low quality, also known as junk. There are times you should own those things. Being aware of what the economy is, that's fine if that's your game. But it really is simple. And when you are aware, don't overdo it. No, carry in it a ton of humility. Know you're wrong most of the time. Because you are. Keep score of it if you don't believe that's true. I have had people tell me, I really have a sense for these things. And when they're honest, though, they come back and go, I really don't have a sense of these things. I have a sense of the market going to go bad. No, you don't. You don't. All right, we got to take our final break this hour. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, again, just as a reminder, the bit with Kevin Miller, the bit from last Tuesday that he and I talk, is going to be in at the end of today's program. So I'll be here for a monologue, and then we're going to go into the recording. We talk a lot about the debt ceiling. But that is this question that came up as well, and thank you for that, for sending that. This debt deal, the question is, is a debt deal positive? Is it a good deal? And it's a very fair question, and it brings me back to, if you will, this tone in D.C. that I believe is changing, that Kevin McCarthy changed. I mean, think about that. He actually calls and talks to the minority leader. Pelosi never talked to him. Shut him out of all discussions, even of national defense. And in reaching across the aisle, they're trying to solve problems, and they are. They are passing bills, but everybody said they couldn't. The tone's changing. This deal is the same thing. For 100 days, Biden won't talk to him, won't negotiate at all. Nobody comes up with anything. Nobody believes they're going to pass anything, and they get it done. And it's not going far enough, according to the mindset of the far right. Doesn't matter. Burn it down. If I don't get everything I want, then I'm taking my ball and going home. Just perfectly content, exactly like the progressives did. They're all right together. You know, I remember in school how the whole loop, right? It goes down. You have fascists and communism and all those things at the bottom. The far left and the far right are right next to each other. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. Both wants to shut down speech on the other side. They do. It's crazy. It's not going far enough. We can't negotiate at all. Okay. Then you don't get anything done. You never win elections. We never have a chance to have the debt discussion that we need. We're killing this country. And Trump did too. And Bush did too. And so on. Well, we needed to stop it here. No, we don't. We need to move the needle. We need to win. Or you can go ahead and continue to just go crazy wild. This isn't far enough. And never win. This is a compromise. Better than anybody ever thought would happen on any side. And it moves the country forward. This is why it's positive. And we're going to have a presidential election, I believe, that's mostly going to be about spending, deficits, for the first time since Ronald Reagan. That's a big deal. And it's a huge positive for the economy, for everything else. It's huge. As you can tell, I'm very excited about the fact that this happened, shouldn't have happened, and there really isn't anything in there on the wish list of more inflation, high spending, progressive ideas. We don't have the money, and America's starting to realize that. I love this tension, this whole discussion that has been brought to the attention of people, not just talk radio. For the attention of all the people, we are spending too much money, and we're going to keep having that discussion. That's why this bill is so great. So great. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. As I always like to say, these are my opinions and my opinions only, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, 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 and that is nothing but noise. It's more than pointless noise. It's deadly noise. It really is. You know, the idea that you ought to be buying something that somebody says, oh, that's a good buy or a sell is, I don't know. It just, it obviously, it's gambling is what it is. Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. And we are not here to do that. We're not only that, we're here to try to hopefully calm things down and think of things in a big picture way. That's what I've been doing for 40 years. I like it. I still do. It still makes sense to me. And I still feel passion about, as I started today's program, in the last hour, talking about it, you know, having a discussion with a young 16-year-old kid. It's about to take off to school. I like that. It still moves my heart. You know, in a world that we focus so much on, it's very natural, on ourselves, and the world tells us we should, and the world is focused on itself, we see it constantly. And filled also with so much noise and so much anger and finger pointing, and it's really hard sometimes to capture the big picture. That so far we're not all going to die. Not at once. The end is not here yet. Even though for the 40 years I've been in this industry, it's been constant. Constant. And fear sells. It has people putting money into something. I try not to mention this a lot, because I just want to not be bogged down with stupid discussions of equity indexed annuities and why they won't work. But I just saw one again that just, you know, breaks your heart. Massive commissions, 10% or whatever they pay, and the money's tied up. It has been in there since 2017. And it's worth exactly what was put in. It has gained zero. I don't even know how this is possible. Which is also why I want to have another discussion with the Department of Insurance, because why they would allow a product like this on the market, it's beyond me. How can this be? I mean, we saw the annual report. It's never moved. So the insurance company collects massive fees. The insurance agent collects massive upfront commissions, 10%, for gosh sakes, for one of these nonsensical things. And the market's gone up. I thought they got some of the upside of the market. It's gone up a lot since then. I thought that was the magic. You get the upside of the market, none of the downside risk. Yeah, great. Yeah, because, you know, I believe in magic fairy dust. Anyway, this is all fear. All bought by fear. And the same thing's on gold. So I'm sure we're going to hear more throughout the day. For somebody's going to buy time and talk gold. Well, here we are with gold. It can't budge. The first inflation we've had in this country in decades. It's supposed to be a great thing of wealth, blah, 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 blah. And the dollar's falling apart. That's going to be the thing, right? It's going to be the mention of why you ought to buy gold. Okay? Once again, I want to remind everybody of the U.S. dollar. I know, it's going to become digital and all go away. Inflation is really crushing the dollar. Or is it? I mean, how about instead of just like hyperbole, why don't we actually look at the data? I mean, I know it's weird, but I'm not here to sell you anything. So we're going to talk about the data. How is the U.S. dollar doing? How is it? you know, is it okay? Is it being crushed in your money? Is just like it's because all it is a fiat currency. It's not real like gold. You know, all the gains in the market, they're not real. My net worth, it's not real because it's not gold. Okay. But it's weird because Albertsons doesn't take gold, but they take my dollars when I want food. Last time I bought a car, I actually was like with dollars, not gold. It was weird. But I don't think I had the option. The last home I bought, actually, I wired the funds for the purchase of it from my bank with dollars. They didn't want gold. Super weird. But this is what goes on, and people get wound up about it. And so where is the U.S. dollar? I mean, the worthless U.S. dollar that's just disintegrating. And I think it's always best to go back and kind of just look at the data, the rise, the fall, the rise and the fall, and how are we actually doing since we're spending our way into oblivion, and I actually believe that that's true. So let's just kind of go from 1998, okay? Because it's kind of modern times, and we all know what happened during the 2000, the market collapse of 2000, the tech bubble burst, on through the pandemic, multiple big declines in the market, inflation all the way. Where are we? The dollar. And all that matters with the dollar is its parity. Is it still have carry value in the world? We're about to go into this time where the Soviet Union is going to gather with China and Iran, according to the gold bugs. And then we're going to have a digital currency, and it's going to wipe it all out. The dollar is exactly where it was. It's actually a little higher, but it's close enough for government work, okay? Of where it was in 98. Okay, let me repeat that. The dollar, which everybody says is, you know, being wiped out, you need to go own gold because the world is coming to an end. I'm sure there'll be multiple ads run all day long on this station and every other for why the fiat currency doesn't work. We're exactly where we were in 1998. Not the market, the dollar. The market, the fiat currency, the stuff on your balance sheet is up a lot since 2000, in spite of every problem you want to name. That's the reality. But it's not the reality in sales land. Got to get a return on your money. World is coming to an end. Always is. Fear sells. Turn it off. You're not getting information. You're getting a pitch. And it's the world's oldest pitch. Fear sells. Always. You know what is harder to sell? Hope. Always. Hope is always hard. Weird, isn't it? It is. All right, I want to finish today's program and talk a little bit about the jobs number on Friday because it has really gotten confusing, okay? And I don't usually get in the weeds about these things, but this is something else. So, and Terry, thanks for sending the article over. And but most of this data I'm going to talk about comes from actually my favorite economist, Brian Westbury with First Trust. And it's just when people like this are confused, and everybody is, and even to the point where the CNBC commentators are going, this just doesn't add up. You know, I mean, people, the economy, this just doesn't make any sense. So I don't know what's going on at the Labor Department. I continue to choose to believe them, although the evidence is starting to stack up that it's something's weird, something's wrong in the reporting, whether it's intentional or not. Because we're getting such divergence on the different reports. The civilian employment report was minus 310,000. So what is the jobs number? Is it minus 310,000 or was it 432,000 when you include the revisions? Which is it? We lost jobs or we blew out the numbers and the Dow jumped because of it? No, it didn't. It didn't jump because of it. Because yesterday we were worried about too strong a data, which this would be too strong a data. I mean, this headline is unbelievable. It's right here in the Wall Street Journal. Dow jumps 700 points on strong jobs data. No, it didn't. If we're worried about interest rate increases, strong data is not what we want. It's the opposite of that. It should have tanked it. But beneath the surface, people didn't knee-jerk reaction to a headline. They actually looked into the numbers and went, huh? This doesn't make any sense. The jobs don't add up. And how is it you go back, and I'll just use March, which were last month in April was revised severely down. Severely down. They just revised March back up. Severely. Now, how did I understand small, like, oh, we overshot here, we've revised, it's okay, and why they come back at the end of the year and kind of fix things. But it's weird. So I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but I think it points out people throw headlines on things, don't believe them. You have to look beneath the surface, always. The headline could read, in my favorite newspaper, the only one I think is even readable, the Wall Street Journal. Dow jumped 700 points on strong jobs. No, it didn't. It did not go up because of strong jobs data. Or you have to tell me why. Yesterday you said the Dow dropped because strong economic data made people worry about interest rates going up. You can't have it both ways, but they do, because that's what reporting is, lazy. And you can't have a jobs number that nobody can explain. And here's a further point to the jobs numbers. And I don't pick one report. So what has happened the last 8 months in a row? The last 8 months in a row, the most important data point in my mind is the number of hours worked is going down. Month after month after month. Meaning companies are asking people to go home early, not quite ready to lay them all off, but they're not filling their time. So is the jobs number good or bad? I don't know. I don't worry about one number, but when they're revising so big back and forth, we're in a time where I don't know. Is the civilian employment number worthless, or is the Department of Labor worthless? I don't know. So watch all of the points, not day to day. Just look for the trend and don't believe the headlines. That's what I learned a long time ago, but I keep learning it every day, how bad these are. Hey, enjoy the discussion. We talk a lot about the debt ceiling coming up, and I hope you have a great rest of the day. The recording usually that is at the front of the program is going to be coming right now. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for tuning in.